How's everyone doing?
Good.
I'm good. Thank you. You guys are so polite. Or you just know me. I don't know. Maybe both. We'll go with both. Well, last week, if I'll try to kind of fill you in if you weren't here or if you forgot, don't remember, then... But we reflected upon what we described as feelings of loss. These feelings that we have in life as we just kind of experience different things as we go through our lives. We have some feelings of loss right now as a church as we go through this transition period. In our community as a whole, as events like Paris and San Bernardino occur, we have these feelings of loss. And there are countless other ways that we can experience some sort of loss in our lives personally. Whether it involves the loss of a life, the loss of one's health, a job, a promotion, the loss of some ambition or goal, of a hope, an idea, and so on. While the details of these losses may be different and we may experience them to different degrees, we all go through these seasons and we all experience them on a pretty regular basis in our lives. And I encouraged us last week to feel those feelings, and we dared to trust in God and His promise to be faithful in the midst of that. And I want to encourage us to continue to do so. It's important that we give space and grace to ourselves and to one another through these times. There are times when our feelings of loss can take just a few minutes for us to process and feel some sort of resolution. And there are other times where it can take several months or years before we feel this resolution over that loss. And so through these seasons, we have to give each other the space to walk through our losses. We have to be supportive to one another. Give one another grace through that. Whether they have peace concerning that loss much faster than we do or much slower than we do. We have to give them the space and grace to process. We all move at different paces, especially depending on the depth of the loss for us personally. And it'll take time. This morning we're going to begin to look forward from these feelings of loss, but do not understand that to mean that I think you should move forward instantly. It may still take more time to process, to sit in your loss. If so, if you need more time, then just receive this message as us daring to speak truth and to trust in the promises in the midst of our loss. And hold on to these promises as you continue to process your loss, not just now, but the losses in the future. When we think about these feelings of loss, there's a sort of fourfold experience of loss, lament, relinquishment, and newness, as I like to describe it for us this morning. We could obviously ask the question of why losses happen, and there are different ideas about why and how these losses occur and what God's hand is in that. But we're going to kind of save that prequel for another time. I'd love to, at some point, talk with you about what God's hand is through all that, but I find that it's rarely helpful in the midst of our losses to reflect on that. And since I believe that each of us is experiencing loss in some way right now, we're going to start with where we're at with those losses. And so this morning we're going to look at this fourfold journey that we began to discuss last week. We're going to see that as we come to God with these losses that we've been experienced, we'll be led to relinquish or to hand over some aspect of our life or of that thing lost. And through that we'll begin to experience newness in some relevant aspect of our life. And so I'd like to pray for us and with you before we start. Father, I thank you for this morning, for the time that we could have to sing these songs of praise and just to come together to fellowship, to study your word. As we come to your word, I pray that you would open up our ears and our eyes, our hearts, that we'd be able to understand the truth that you have for us and that we'd be in a place where we can receive it. Father, call these feelings of loss to our mind and help us to express these feelings. Guide us into what it is that, that you want us to let go of and guide us into the newness that you have for us, that you offer to us. Father, guide us in this time. Speak to each one of us as you know the losses that we're feeling. I thank you in our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. You guys are still here. Last week, we looked at the Babylonian exile. We looked at that as one of the most, the greatest experience of loss that the people of Israel endured. And we saw last week in Jeremiah and Lamentations that they essentially lost everything. Everything except from a promise of God to be faithful. In case you forgot or weren't here, the Babylonians destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem, including the temple and the walls. Many people were put to death and the masses were carried off into an exile. And we spoke about the first stage of this cycle that we're talking about this morning, these losses, and the ways that we can relate to their situation of loss despite the differences. We mentioned that although our cities are full, churches are getting emptier and emptier. We live in a world that doesn't value the things that we hold important and often mocks our values. And we've all seen relationships deteriorate along with either our health or the health of a loved one. We've all seen our dreams crushed, been passed over for a promotion or raise, or lost our jobs. And we've dared in the midst of these losses to say that God is still present and faithful. Second in this process is lament. We have these losses, whatever they may be for us personally, and from these losses we then lament. A word we don't use often, but that simply means to express sorrow or grief. We spoke a little bit last week about the importance of expressing these sorrows. I mentioned that whenever we keep these things from those closest to us, we drive a wedge in that relationship. We grow increasingly distant from our loved ones. If we treat these things that are important to the very depths of who we are, if we treat them in such a manner that we don't share it with those closest to us, we won't grow in intimacy, but the opposite. We won't enjoy any intimacy with the people we keep it from. I encouraged us last week to seek someone to pray for you concerning your loss. I believe that's a safe way for us to share and to express the sorrow that we feel. And when we're ready, we'd benefit from sharing to a deeper level, sharing in depth with a trusted friend, family member, or spouse. But not only will we benefit from expressing these things one to another, but we will grow in our intimacy with God if we would express our sorrows from Him. Whatever you feel towards God in the midst of your loss, express it. If you try to hide it from God, you'll only feel more and more distant from Him. He already knows our losses. But when we try to hide it, we move away from Him. We move away from intimacy with Him. And so again, I encourage you towards lament. Express the losses that you feel. Whatever way that you're ready to, in with whomever you're ready to express it, share it. Now I like to start talking about something new. After we've experienced these losses, we express these losses, and then we move into relinquishment. What I want us to understand from this is that whenever we experience loss and we lament that loss towards God, He leads us to relinquish something concerning this loss, to let go of something. I chose the word relinquishment because it has like a finality to it that let go doesn't. I'm not just saying set it down to pick it up later, but we relinquish it once and for all. We see this in Jeremiah 31. In the midst of the exile occurring, the people were taken in three waves to Babylon. First, the sort of the nobility were taken. This is where Daniel comes in. He was taken in this first wave with his buddies. And it progressed until the events that we read about last week in Jeremiah 52, when the poorest were taken and the poorest of the poor were left in the desolate land. And that's when Jeremiah was taken. Some believe he was taken in third wave. Some believe he stayed and was in the desolate, empty city. But in this context of this destruction occurring while Jeremiah is still in the city before the final waves happen, we get these words in Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 17. It reads, "There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. I have heard Ephraim grieving, 'You have disciplined me, and I was disciplined. Like an untrained calf, bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God.' For after I had turned away, I relented, and after I was instructed, I struck my thigh. I was ashamed, and I was confounded, because I bore the disgrace of my youth." In the midst of the destruction and the despair of Israel, God speaks hope into their circumstances. And he speaks of the restoration that he will bring to the people. A restoration that we know took place as God brought back the Israelites. And the city with the temple and the walls were all rebuilt. They were rebuilt even greater than they were before. But we also know that this did not happen instantly, that it took 70 years before they were brought back from the land. And even when they came back, it took many years to rebuild. But then God quotes the people in verse 18. Ephraim is a name that's sometimes used to refer to the people of God, normally specifically the northern tribes. It was the name of Joseph's second son and the tribe that all of his descendants were known as. And so he quotes Ephraim as recognizing that God has been disciplining them, and they believe that the disciplining is done. Like a child asking to be taken out of timeout, they come to God. They ask to be restored, to be made new. They explain that they've turned away from the things that they needed to. They've relented in the ways that they were going away from God and His will. Ephraim continues to explain that they have stricken their thigh. Anyone use that expression this week? I didn't think so. It's kind of a strange expression for us, but it simply refers to a sign of remorse and shame. It's a recognition of error. In this, Ephraim is turning away from their errors, from their immorality, and turning towards God. They're relinquishing several things in the midst of their lamenting to God. They relinquish doing things their own way, their idols, and their pride, among other things. Sometimes these are the things that we will be led to relinquish through our losses. Perhaps we've experienced loss because of destructive habits in our lives, and we need to let those habits go and everything that comes with them. Or perhaps through the loss, God shows us how pridefully we've been thinking, as we're upset because we deserve better. There are many times when God will use the pain we're experiencing to speak to us about a situation that's gone on for a long time. C.S. Lewis describes pain as God's megaphone in this regard. It's a time when God can get our attention. And so we should evaluate in any time of pain and see what we can learn about ourselves and what God can change about our hearts. But there are many times when we have these experiences of losses to no fault of our own. But there's still something to relinquish, even if we feel loss and we don't deserve any of the blame for it. There's still something to let go of. One of my favorite biblical examples of someone relinquishing something is Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She desperately wants to have a child. She feels deep, deep grief and sorrow because of her inability to do so. And 1 Samuel 1 describes her going to the temple and bearing her soul to the Lord. She allows God to see all of who she is, even the very depths of her being, and she expresses her deep sorrow to God. As she expresses this deep sorrow, she's led to relinquish the desire to God, though. She separates her desire to be a mother and her desire to be restored to be removed from the margins of life. As a woman in Hannah's day who could not bear children, was thought to be no woman at all, was thought to be a useless human being. And so Hannah asks to be restored to honor, and she relinquishes her deep desire to be a mother. She relinquishes the desire to the point of promising to give her son to service in the tabernacle, and she does so when God gives her a son. this process of relinquishing something to accept something else. And we often think of our relationship with God as something where we relinquish things that we should not do and we stop doing them. And there are times for that. But I find more often as we journey on this path towards Christ-likeness, it's often relinquishing something even deeper than our actions. It may be giving God complete control of our life, even this area where we feel this loss. Or maybe it's trusting God to take care of our deceased loved one until our reunion. Or giving over a dream or an ambition to God. Or giving over our ideas about these things and allowing God's fresh perspective. Whatever it is, we lament and we relinquish and we allow God to do something new, first in our hearts and then outward. This is a process I've personally gone through for several years, maybe my whole life, but only in the past year and a half, have I been able to understand and articulate it, at least as poorly as I am this morning. I became a part of this church community just weeks before my 21st birthday, and I came here as an adult. I came here believing that I knew a lot about God, about life, about Christianity, because of all the years I spent in life and in church. And although I came to this church as an adult, I've grown so much in the midst of you in this past 6+ years. I've done so through my experience in ministry, providing sort of an on-the-job training. I've also done so from the training I've received at Azusa Pacific, whether it be in Bible classes, theology classes, or ministry classes. And during that time, I've learned from so many different ways. I've learned from good experiences. I've learned from positive instruction. I've learned from so many terrible mistakes. And each of those have led me, though, on this cycle of loss, lament, relinquish, and experiencing newness. Many times I've been led to relinquish kind of the idea of God that I had that was too small. And in letting go of that, I've accepted the newness of the bigger picture of who God is. Other times it was an idea about life that in my young age I thought I had all figured out, but that was far from the reality. Many times for me, it's been relinquishing an ambition or a desire, surrendering my desire as a young man to be great and to do great things for God. And in that, accepting the newness and the freshness that comes from serving God where you are, regardless of the circumstances. Being content. Many times I've had to relinquish people as God calls them to other places. I've relinquished people that have gone as far as Thailand and as close as down the street in Reseda. It's been a regular part of my life, and I sat there actually when I think I like to pace. So I walked around there and thought about one specific story that I could share with you about this relinquishment, about this process that I've been through. And as I paced and paced, I realized any story I told you, I would need to give you the context of the last story that God led me through, and the last one. And it would quickly just turn into listen to DJ talk about DJ time. And none of us want that. And so I'm only turning our attention to myself, hopefully just enough for you to turn your attention to yourself. To see how this cycle has already been a part of your life, the times where God has led you through these losses and you've expressed them in some way and you've relinquished something and you've experienced the new life that comes afterwards. Loss, lament, relinquish, newness, we have these stories. I had the privilege of one of you sharing your story with me just this past week. And as you did so throughout, I could see times where you had some loss and you relinquished something in some way. And you trusted in God and you experienced His newness in significant ways and saw His faithfulness and provision throughout it. And I trust that each of us have these stories in our past to some degree. God's done this before and He's going to keep doing this with each of our losses. And so, as you experience these losses, look to what you need to relinquish. What is it that you need to give up and give control over to God? What is it you need to set down so that your hands are empty to receive God's newness in the midst of your loss? When we've experienced this loss and we've expressed it and we've emptied our hands to God, we're ready to accept the newness that God brings, that God promises. But we can't skip a step, right? We would like to. We would like to just, I have loss, I would like to wake up in the morning and have newness. But it's a process and it's a cycle. We need to express it. We need to pray and be led to learn from God what it is we have to let go of to make room for the more that He has to offer us. So I want to read us in Jeremiah 31, a text you may have heard recently. Jeremiah 27 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring harm, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord." I didn't tell you where I am. I'm in verse 29 now, if you're wondering. "In those days they shall no longer say, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge.' But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." God first speaks to newness when He explains that He will sow with the seed of man and of beast. Remember, this is speaking of the desolate city that's been destroyed, that is empty of all forms of life. The seed of man and of beast literally refers to new life, to an increase in the animal and human population, literal new life. In verse 28, God assures of His faithfulness, telling that He will build up, He will plant, He will watch over the people. Verse 29 describes the bad taste that's been left in the children's mouth and tells that will be removed. Our losses can be described oftentimes as kind of sour grapes. They're sour at least. And the worst part, I think, of sour grapes or anything that we don't want to eat is the aftertaste. Not only do we have the initial loss, but the aftertaste, the pain and the anguish that we live in is often worse than that initial loss. In Jeremiah, the young generation is suffering from the decisions of their parents. And sometimes we may feel that way, like someone else made a decision that we have to suffer the consequences for. And it's not fair. But God is still faithful, and we can grow in our walks with Christ through it, despite it not being fair. In verse 31, God tells that He will make a new covenant with the people. This is the covenant that we live under. This is the covenant that we have after the life and death and resurrection of Christ. This new covenant that we reflected on in communion 15 minutes ago or so. Probably longer than that. I probably talked too long. In verse 32, God explains this will not be like the old covenant, but now He will put His law within them and write it on their hearts. The old covenant was inscribed on tablets of stone, but the new covenant will be inscribed in their very hearts. It will not be a covenant where one is directed by the external to do things, but internally directed. It's a covenant that requires a deep knowing of God. We understand this, but we can also misunderstand this. Knowing God is not a mere awareness of facts. It does not mean that we can pass a test, that we can have all the right answers about who God is. I can recite facts about people I have never personally met. That doesn't mean that I know them, just because I know something about them. Facts are important to knowing, but they're not all of knowing. But knowing also does not only refer to an interpersonal relationship with God. That's part of it, but it goes further. Knowing is an intimate word. In the Bible, knowing is the same word that's used for that activity which consummates a marriage. If you catch my drift. It's an intimate word. An intimacy that requires recognition, acknowledgement, and most of all, commitment. This is why the word for our relationship with God is the same word that's used for the type of relationship we're only supposed to share with one person until death do us part. That's how we should know God. And so we need to recognize the relationship we have with God. We need to acknowledge our role in that and who God is. And most of all, we need to be committed to that relationship, which goes beyond just an interpersonal relationship that we share with ourselves, to an outer, open, visible relationship that other people, whether they be family members or strangers, can witness and experience. That's knowing God. In the midst of our feelings of loss, we can have this sort of relationship ahead of us. We can increasingly grow towards this through this cycle of loss, lament, relinquishing, and accepting newness. This is the sort of newness that we need, that I think we long for in life. But it's not easy, and it's not something that we can just put on like we put on a jacket. But it requires a new heart. And so I'd like to jump over to Ezekiel chapter 36. You'll just jump over a little bit with me. We're going to start in verse 22. It reads, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations." These words come from that same context of exile, in the same despair that we've been talking about, the same feelings of loss. And in the same context, God declares that he will give the people a new heart. This is the new heart that we need, the new heart that we long for, the new heart that allows us to faithfully live under the new covenant. And one of the ideas that I've had to relinquish from my youth is the idea that everything is black and white. While we like things being either black or white, in reality, we live in a gray world. We live somewhere that is between black and white, between light and darkness. And we ourselves, although we are perfect in Christ, are being perfected in Christ. We're in this process, the process of leaving dark places behind and entering into the light. A large part of this process involves the process that we've been describing this morning. This process of having these losses and lamenting them and relinquishing something to accept the newness that God offers. While this passage describes a heart of flesh and a heart of stone, a new soft heart and an old hard heart, each of our hearts in reality is somewhere in between. We have many ways where over the years God has made our hearts new. But we also have many ways where our hearts are still rock hard. Sometimes our feelings of loss lead us to a place where our hearts harden at first, before eventually we receive the newness of God and in a sense our hearts are softened and made new. More than anything else this morning, I want us to understand that we are part of that process, that we're in that process, that God is making our hearts new, that He is offering us soft hearts of flesh instead of hard hearts of stone, that we can relinquish control and give over these hard parts of our hearts and trust in God to make these areas new, to transform our hearts, to give us a new heart. So many times our feelings of loss move us towards needing to relinquish these areas in which our hearts have grown hard in some way. And returning to how I opened about space and grace, I don't want this to come across as piling on. If you're at the point of feeling lost that you're not even ready to talk about it with someone else, do not hear me as saying that there's something wrong with you, that you need to hurry up and be new. I want to respect these losses as real and respect the space that we need to process it. And I simply mean this morning to boldly declare that God will work in that situation, that He will grow you in Christ through it, despite it, over it, whatever words you want to use. That may mean that in a sense there is something wrong with you, that you have a heart with some hard places, just like the rest of us do. But that through this process, He will make us new. He will make our hearts new. He will give us those new hearts that better enable us to live in the new covenant that we have in Christ. And this is a process that God is constantly working and undertaking to make all things new. Listen to some verses from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also He said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the process that God has been working since the fall, since Genesis 3. He worked it through the exile. He worked it through the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Christ. He works it in our lives through all of these situations, even the ones with the deepest experiences of loss, maybe especially in those experiences of loss. And He will continue to work and to work until all things are made new. He describes Himself as the one who is making all things new. These words are trustworthy and true. I hope that each of us can trust in these words, to trust that we are in this process of being made new. From your losses, turn to lamenting. Express your feelings. And as you do so, pray to God and seek what it is that you need to let go of to gain fresh perspective from God. And then with your hands empty of that thing, accept the newness that God brings to life. Allow Him to remove that heart of stone and to give you a heart of flesh. I simply want to allow each of us the space and the grace to go through this process. It's a process that we will have multiple opportunities to go through for the rest of our lives. Through our walk with Christ, it's a process that we've already gone through numerous times, whether we've described it in this way or not, whether we've thought about it in this way or not. We've already gone through this time and time again. And so through this, let's lean on one another. Let's rest on one another for strength and support, because we all go through this process. And as we go through this process, we will become witnesses of God making all things new. I want to close by reading a portion of Ezekiel 37, since we're already turned there in 36. I could imagine Ezekiel having a hard time believing what God was saying to him in the midst of this destruction of Jerusalem being destroyed and conquered. Having a hard time believing these words about newness. And maybe it sounds just too good to be true to you. Maybe it sounds like something for another time, for another place. Maybe it just sounds way too cliche for where you're at this morning. I get that. But God gives Ezekiel a beautiful experience to demonstrate the newness that He will bring. And I pray that He gives us an equally beautiful experience at some point this week. And so I just want to read us the first 10 verses of chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Then He said, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh came upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And so may it be for us. We too can become witnesses to God bringing newness and life in just as crazy of ways. Bringing newness and life not only to the feelings of loss that we are experiencing as a community and personally, but even to the community around us. As we trust in God's promises, we too can be both witnesses and the agents by which God brings newness and life to the dead and decaying. As He works this process in our hearts that we are experiencing now to some degree, through that we are being prepared to be the instruments by which God can bring life into the lives of others. And I think that even in the midst of our lives with the losses and the things that we feel and experience on a daily basis, that's exciting. That we can not only witness God bringing newness, but we can be the agents, the instruments of bringing newness into the lives of others. And so this morning, I just simply want us to trust in that process, to feel your losses, to accept them for what they are, to work through them, to come to a place where you can express them, most importantly to God, but even to one another, to someone whom you can trust and lean on in that time. And from that, pray for yourself, pray for each other, that we'd be led to let go of something, to let go of whatever it is that's keeping us from what God has for us. Some idea, I can't tell you how many ideas I've had to give up to accept something so much greater. Right? Ephesians 3:20 says that God can give even more than we can hope or imagine. He can do even more. I think in many ways we have to give up part of our imagination right now to accept the new, the greater imagination, to imagine the newness that God can bring. And then let us experience and walk in that newness, that new heart, and become agents of bringing that newness out into the world, to the dead and the decaying, the lost that are out there. Trust in the process. Trust in God through the process. You've already been through it. He's carried you through it before, and he will time and time again. This is what he does. This is how he describes himself. The one who makes all things new. These words are trustworthy and true. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you are the one who makes all things new. That you choose to use that as a description of who you are. And Father, we are in such deep need of newness. I pray that through our losses, that you will lead us to let go of whatever it is. And that we would be able to experience and to know your newness, the greater thing that you have for us. Father, I pray for everyone in this room as I know in the midst of loss, talk about newness is often not very helpful. I pray that you'd help each of us through this process, that you would walk us through it, that we would know that you are an ever-present help in every time of need. I pray that you would help us to store these words, these truths in our heart for when we're ready for them, if we're not now. And that through all of this, through everything we're going through, that you would prepare us to be the instruments of life, to be the agents that bring life to the dead around us. Father, in this valley that we live in, there are so many dead and decaying things. Use the losses that we are experiencing to prepare us to bring the newness that you're going to give us, to bring that to those people. Father, I thank you in advance for the work that you're doing and continuing to do in each of our hearts and lives and in us as a community. And I pray that you would receive every bit of the glory and honor and praise you deserve for it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.